Father, we just pray that Thy will be done this morning. That Your Holy Spirit would just have control of this entire service. Father, that it would not be me speaking, but it would be Your Holy Spirit speaking through me this morning. And open up every heart, every mind, to receive what You have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to begin in Acts chapter 9. It's funny, I've been preaching for a few weeks ago on the lion and the devil being a roaring lion looking whom he may devour. And I talked about his hunting tactics and everything like that. But then Jesus is also referred to as the Lion of Judah. And this week we went and watched the movie I Can Only Imagine. It's the true story about the hit song I Can Only Imagine, the Christian song, and what the singer and wrote about, why he wrote the song and everything. And it was a really good movie, but in the advertisements before the movie started, they're making another movie called God's Not Dead, and they've made two movies. They're making part three of God's Not Dead, and the theme song of that movie is, "My God's not dead, He's surely alive, living on the inside, roaring like a lion." And I've been thinking about that ever since I've heard that song. That song was popular 5-6 years ago probably, or something like that. But I was just thinking of how God's not dead. And He's living on the inside of me. Now, is He really roaring like a lion in my life? Or is He that still small voice? Or is He just there when I need Him? But it got me thinking about, do we really let God have control? Do we really let God roar like a lion on the inside, leading our life, guiding us? Acts 9, 1, we're going to talk about Saul's conversion to begin with. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Think about that, how he was going ready to kill, he was going ready to destroy. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." Now I don't know how your conversion was with the Lord. If it was an audible voice like that, if it was a light shown from heaven, or if it was just a moment that you realized your sin, you realized that you needed a Savior. Mine was a moment. I actually had several moments throughout my life from the time I was a young kid that I knew I needed a Savior, but it was a moment when I was in my early 20s before I realized, I need Jesus, and I need Him in a big way because I'm headed for hell. There was no denying this with Saul. A light shined down from heaven, a voice speaking. The verse 7 says, "The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see him anymore. Did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink." You know, here's Saul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a man God, so he thought, you know, and followed all the laws, followed all the things, and then here he is, and he thought he seen so clearly, ready to go and persecute, ready to go and squash this heresy. He thought that he seen so well, but all at once, when the truth comes, he was blind. I just now thought about that. That's the whole sermon right there. Where he thought he seen, but yet he needed to be blinded for the truth to come out. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judah on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. I don't know how we could relate that to here in America other than if the Lord would have told you if Saddam Hussein was still alive and in power to go to Saddam Hussein and proclaim Jesus to him, to pray for him, that his eyes might be opened, that he might see, because Saddam would have the authority. Saul had the authority here. He had the letters, and he was coming to persecute. He was coming to throw him into prison. So to think about how Ananias must have felt with the Lord telling him to go to this man. You know, you think about that. How many of us, as the Lord told us to go to somebody, and we're fearful, and we don't say anything. We're scared we might be made fun of. We're scared we might be rejected. But none of us, right now, living in America today, has the fear of being thrown into prison, has the fear of being hung or killed for speaking the name of Jesus. And so here, to be faced with this, but he listened. Verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Okay, what I started off with, God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, right? Is he living on the inside of you? And when I think about that, I think about being a chosen instrument. Are we any different today? Are we God's chosen instruments today? Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Okay, if you zoned out, listen right here. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. When I think about that, I just think at once he began to speak. At once he began to preach. And I think about how many of us today are we allowing God to live through us? Are we allowing him to dwell in us so that we're ready to give testimony? We're ready to preach. We're ready to tell people about Jesus. Is he really living on the inside of us? Is he really leading us and guiding us? 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Are we ready to declare the praises of the Jesus who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Church, I don't know about you, but this stirs me up on the inside. How many of us are living a Christian life that God is dead? Or is He really living on the inside of us? Is He really using us as His chosen instruments this morning? Are we allowing Him to use us? Are we allowing Him to work through our lives? Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." How many of you feel like you're witnesses for Christ today? I want you to think about a witness just gives testimony of what they've seen or what they've experienced. My witness is different than your witness. My testimony is different than your testimony. We're not saying, I don't believe we're saying that you have to be the Bible scholar, that you have to be able to quote scriptures, that you have to be able to take someone from Genesis to Revelation and make it all make sense to be a witness. No, a witness tells what Jesus has done for you, for me. All I can testify to is what the Lord has done for me. I get emotional if I start really thinking about it. I'm so undeserving of all that He's done for me. I don't deserve it. But what Jesus did that night in my home, the realization of hell, the realization of I needed a Savior, the realization that I love sin more than I love God. And I confessed and I said, "God, forgive me." And from that moment on, something changed. That's my testimony. That's my witness. I don't know about all you all, but or what God's done for you, but what He's done for me is incredible. And how He's blessed me and that I'm standing up here preaching. I'm so unworthy. But yet God chooses to use me. Is God alive in your life? Is He real? Is there something on the inside of you that just stirs and bears witness? And tells you, Mitzi gave testimony this morning of the Lord saying, "Go tell that woman that you're sorry about her mom and how God blessed it." Tim gave testimony this morning of a business conversation and it turns into a talk about Jesus for 30 minutes. It's not standing on the street corner with a sign. It's not going door to door knocking on the door. If the Lord tells you to do it, then you do that. But it's in your life. It's being a witness. It's allowing Jesus to live through you. How many of us feel like we're witnesses for Jesus Christ? How many of us even care or want to share the good news of what Jesus has done for you? How many of us even want to live that out? As I was reading and researching this, Matthew 24:12-13 says, "Because of the wicked... because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And I think of how many today, we could care less. We could care less if people are saved. We could care less if they hear the name of Jesus. We could care less. Let them live in their sin. Let them live in their waller. As long as I'm okay. As long as me and my family are fine, we become such a society of such self-indulgence. And the world revolves around me and my little circle of family and my little circle of friends. And who cares about anybody else? The increase of wickedness, the love of growth, most will grow cold. Philippians 3:17 says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." Do we look at people's lives? Do we see some really living for Jesus and wonder, why are we not? Do you think people look at your life and say, "Wow, They're an example. That's what a true believer lives like. That's what a true believer acts like. Verse 18, "For as I often have told you before, and now say even again with tears in my eyes, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame." Tim, you mentioned that verse this morning about their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. If God's not dead, if He's really alive, if He's living on the inside of us, then our minds should not be on earthly things, and our minds should be different. What happened to Saul? Saul's going ready to persecute. He's blinded, then his eyes are open and he sees clearly, and immediately he begins to say, "Look who Jesus is." He begins to teach and prove who Jesus is. Can I tell you something? People know it when you're real. People know it when you're genuine. People know when Jesus is real in your life. And our mind should not be on earthly things. Our destiny should not be destruction, because we're given a new life. And we're a new being. Verse 20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, you guys ever been around somebody that's moved here from someplace else, and all they talk about is how great wherever they used to be was, you know? I've had people even at work that have talked about how great their other job was, and you know, people just moved to Mansfield, and how great wherever the town was that they came from. And sometimes you just get sick of hearing it and say, "Well, why don't you go back then if it was that great?" Has anybody else ever felt that way, or am I the only one? You know, boy, back in the olden days, or back over here, we'll go back. But see, should that not be how we are, that our citizenship is in heaven? It's yet to come where we're going to be. And shouldn't we be excited about that? And shouldn't our minds be on the things above and not on the things below, not right here? Our thoughts should become, shouldn't be about the earthly things, but our thoughts should be about heavenly things. And our testimony and our witness ought to be to what Jesus has done and how He's transformed our hearts, how He's transformed our minds into not being like everybody else that lives here. Matthew 5:13. "You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Us allowing wickedness, us allowing the evilness of this world, us being bombarded and filling our minds and filling our hearts with the garbage of this world, the increase of wickedness. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have we lost something, church? Have we lost something in our lives? Have we lost something in our love? Or are we the light of the world? When you go to work, when you go home, when you're being the best mom, the best dad, when you're being the best employee, when you're being the best student, wherever you are you the light? Do people look at your life and say, "Man, there's just something about that person. There's just something different about him. You're the salt of the earth." But if we lose our saltiness, how can we be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'm not much of a light. I let things get to me. I get angry. I get mad. I forget even the stories I tell y'all. There's too many stories to be told. But, I told Crystal a couple weeks ago I was working with a gentleman, and I had never worked with this guy much, and all he did was complain. All he did was complain and gripe. How the company wasn't doing him right with this, and they should be doing this, and it serves them right for this, and it just was exhausting. And I prayed, and I thought, how often is that me? I wonder sometimes when I come in the room if people go, oh, here's Pete again. He's going to whine, he's going to complain, he's going to gripe. Do I wear people out? This man is supposed to be my brother in Christ, and he wore me out with his complaining and griping and moaning. We're the light of the world, right? If we're to be the witnesses, if we're to be given testimony of what Jesus has done for us, well, how is there so much complaining? How is there so much griping? Do we trust Him or do we not trust Him? Is He our everything? Is He guiding the paths of the righteous? You know, the Bible says that God directs the steps of a righteous man. Is God directing our steps or not? Are we at our workplace where we're supposed to be? Are we at our school where we're supposed to be? Are we with the spouse we're supposed to be with or not? And if we are, and that's where God's placed us, then let's get a happy attitude, a joyful attitude, and say, I'm the light of the world. Jesus, live in me. Are you alive or are you dead? Is He living on the inside of you or not? You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. You know, over the years, I've had teenagers come and go as youth minister here, and some of them have had horrible, horrible home lives. Didn't have a mom or dad that loved them, or didn't have a mom or dad that were Christians. Then they need to go and be a light at home. Maybe you go home and you're the only believer in your household. Maybe you go to work and you're the only believer at work. If we're the true believers, if we're the true children of God, we can't hide it away. And we shouldn't even try, and it shouldn't even be able to be hidden, that it should just shine out of us, that man, something's different about us. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Okay? If you zone me out, listen to this. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's all about bringing praise to our Father in heaven. It's all about giving Him glory, giving Him honor for the life that we live, for the witness that we are. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Huh. That's kind of funny, isn't it? All of you live in harmony with one another. I can't hardly make it to work without getting upset about the way people's driving around me. Living in harmony with them? Be sympathetic. You ever stop and say, maybe that person's being ugly, maybe that person's being a jerk because something going on in their life we don't know about. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. You know, self-esteem and lifting up and praise and what our society's all about. We're called to be humble. And compassionate, caring about people. What is it? The increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But when we get rid of that wickedness, then our love should increase and we should be compassionate. Verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. If we're letting our light shine, if we're being witnesses, you know what, how I can be a witness? It's not every day telling everybody of my testimony of how I knelt down by my bed and cried out to Jesus and He saved me and transformed me. But you know what else is a witness? Not returning evil for evil. Not returning insult for insult. When they insult you, let it go. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? Man, sometimes someone will say something to me and boy, I got a good comeback. It make everybody laugh. Sometimes I say it. Sometimes I don't. What bears a better witness for Jesus Christ? It's not saying it. It's taking it. Because you know what? When I say it and everybody laughs and we make fun of each other, how am I any different? I'm not. I'm not any different. And I can say I'm a preacher. I can say I'm a man of God. But does my actions reflect it? Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love his life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I don't know about y'all, but when I pray, I want the Lord to listen. If I'm living in wickedness, I'm living in evilness. You know, We've talked about that before. We've discussed that before. It's in the Old Testament that he doesn't hear those prayers. And you say, what, Pete? Oh, he hears the prayers of a sinner repenting. But not if you're living in iniquity. Who is going to harm you? Okay, listen to this. This is really good here. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? When you're eager to do good, who's going to harm you? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be... Okay, this is a part. Okay, goes along with the message. Being a witness, giving testimony. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. How's your witness? How's your testimony? When was the last time someone said, why are you different? When was the last time someone says, how can you have so much love? How can you have so much kindness? How can you have so much compassion? How can you live in such harmony? Maybe the reason nobody's asking us is because we're not living it. Maybe the reason nobody's asking you about the hope that you have is because they don't see it evident in your life. You can witness all you want with your talk, but where the rubber meets the road is, how's your life? How are you living it? Do people see that Jesus is alive inside of you? Do you resist the temptation of evil for evil? Do you resist the temptation of insult for insult? I love the way that ends there. It says to give. I'm going to read the whole verse again. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to have or to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It's not a ha ha. It's not a ha. Gentleness and respect, because you know why? I know what Jesus has done for me, and I know how undeserving I am. Is the Lord living on the inside of you this morning? Is He roaring like a lion? Is He guiding your path? Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first the Jew, then for the Gentile. Are we ashamed of the gospel this morning? Do you feel the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing you? Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that it goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the Word of God planted in our hearts, planted in our minds. Church, if you don't feel like God's alive in your life, maybe now's the time that you need to ask God to forgive you. Maybe there's a sin separating you. Maybe there's some iniquity that's separating you. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to embrace you. Or maybe you're just at the point that you say, I don't feel God's presence in my life. I don't hear Him speaking to me. I have been repaying evil for evil. I have been insult for insult. I've not been a good witness. I've not been a light. Maybe this is a point that He says, my word, it's not going to come back to me void. Maybe that's a point that you need to start planting the seeds of this word into your life. The seed of this word, and allow the Holy Spirit to work it through so that it will grow. We planted a peach tree, right? Peach tree last year. And when we first planted it, Hayden would water it and mess with it and everything. And then we got busy and kind of forgot. And I thought the thing had died. It looked like it was dead last year. We had such hot weeks there and no rain and everything. And I thought, oh, well, just another tree to chop down. You know, I thought it was dead. But I noticed these little green leaves coming up this week. It's still alive. This morning, God's Word planted in you, it's still alive. Will we let it accomplish its purpose in our life? 2 Corinthians 5:20, this is the last verse. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Saul went from ready to murder and imprison women, men, it didn't matter, anybody who belonged to Jesus Christ. He went from that when his eyes were open. It says immediately he began to preach. Immediately he began to give testimony. Can I tell you something? That maybe you've been a Christian a long time. Maybe you were like me. And when you first got saved, it was so apparent. It's funny that, you know, I was out of my normal run the last 2 weeks, and a buddy of mine was running my run, and we've been friends since 94. We worked together at UPS, and he told somebody on my route, said, don't let Pete fool you. He ain't always been a preacher. It's funny how people remember who you once were. But what I'm trying to say is that when I first met Jesus, I couldn't get enough. And everybody at UPS got sick of Pete talking about Jesus. Everything was brand new, and what he was doing in my life and how he was changing me. And it was so exciting. But after you walk with Jesus a while, what happens? Everybody knows you as the Christian. Everybody knows, oh, that's the Christian over there, and let's not tell that joke. They don't get invited to the party or whatever. And if we're not careful, we can fall into a slump, kind of to speak. Because everybody already knows, so why tell them? But we are Christ's ambassadors. And I would challenge you that if you've walked with God for years and years and years, You even have a more responsibility to be aware that people are watching you because you are a believer. And like I've been saying through this whole thing, it's not the words we speak, but it's the life we live. evil for evil, insult for insult. I gotta confess, I got work to do. I got work to do in my life. But I want people to know the Jesus that lives inside of me. And I guarantee you that if all of us would just allow Jesus to live inside of us, what did we start off this year saying? It could be the greatest year, right? That God can do more this year, that the rocks can come back to life, that the walls can be restored, that this could be the greatest year we've ever seen in our personal lives in Coupe Prairie Church. But if we're not living out our faith, if we're not being witnesses with our life, the sheep will never multiply. Because people's not going to ask us the reason because they don't see it. Do people ask you for the reason of the hope? And then when they ask, gentleness and respect. Let's stand. Father, I don't want to make a law up here telling everybody to go out this week and win someone every day to you. But Father, I would ask this morning that each one of us would reflect on our walk with you. Are you alive to us? Are you real? Are you living on the inside of us? Are we truly your ambassadors at work, at home, in private when no one's looking? Forgive us, Lord, for the ways we've fallen short. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we've shamed your name, that we've given into that temptation, that we've given into that sin, Lord, that we have repaid evil for evil, that we have repaid insult for insult, Lord, that we've let our anger, that we've let our lust, that we've let our greed get the better of us. Father, forgive us now. Lord, may every person in this room, Lord, if there's a sin, if there's something that's hindering their walk, may you reveal it to them and may they repent of it. May they ask for forgiveness. And Lord, may our lives be transformed. And tomorrow, this afternoon, this next week, Lord, whenever it is, may we truly be your ambassadors. Lord, as you open up the door, may we not be ashamed of the gospel, but may we just give testimony. May we just be witnesses to what you've done in our life. Father, maybe some here have fallen back. Maybe they've lost their saltiness. Maybe they fell back and they're stuck in a rut. Lord, your word says that if we lose our saltiness, it's not fit for anything. But Father, your word also says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so Father, I pray right now, Lord, that anybody that's crying out from a pure heart that's lost it, Lord, that you might restore them. That you might restore them. That we might become your witnesses throughout the land, Lord. Wherever our foot, wherever our feet may take us, Lord, that we would bring a testimony of what you've done in our lives, that we would be different. That just as Saul immediately began to proclaim you, may our life proclaim you in every way, in our actions, in our speech. Father, may we see an increase. May we see an increase in the opportunity. May we see an increase and those around us, Lord, as you put them in our path, that they might come to know you. May our love not grow cold. Cleanse us of all wickedness now. May our love grow stronger once again. Father, have your way now in Jesus' mighty name. Altars are open if you want to spend some time alone with the Lord. You know, sometimes it's hard to be the Christian, and when everybody's over grouped together laughing and talking, and you know they don't want you around because they're saying stuff or looking at stuff that they shouldn't be looking at. But you know, it's funny when you feel so rejected sometimes. It can be those very people that when they're in a crisis, it's you that they're coming to. I never will forget 3 or 4 years ago, my boss, he's a big man. He played college football on the line. Had another boss, my former boss before I got the boss now, said he's the strongest guy he knows in the weight room. And he come to me. And he said, my wife has lesions on her brain, and we don't know what's going to happen. And tears was welling up in his eyes, and he said, would you pray for her? He said, I wanted to come to somebody that I know has an inside track to God. That was such an honor that he come and asked me, pray for his wife, you know? And sometimes when you feel like you're left out, sometimes when you feel like you're not doing any good and that nobody notices, but when they get in a crisis, when they get in trouble, you're the person that they come to. Let's just live for Jesus. May He not be dead, but may He be alive in your life each and every day. I promise you, if you ask Him to guide you and you seek Him with all your heart. Last week we talked about being double-minded, being tossed around. I don't want that to be my testimony, tossed around. Pete's in a good mood one day and acts like he loves the Lord, and then the next day he's biting everybody's head off and he's angry and he's grouchy. And that can describe me. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to be a witness each and every day. Let's allow Jesus to lead us this week. The Holy Spirit to guide us. Love you, church. Bible study this evening at 6:30. Easter egg hunt next Sunday morning, 10:30.